sitting there in bed alone, hearing this outside my door. And I realized immediately I fell asleep before I didn't put the chain on my door.
One day I heard a bunch of footsteps behind me, and they seemed like they were advancing. I immediately darted out onto the middle of the street.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to Best Case, Worst Case. This is Jim Clemente, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor and writer-producer of CBS's Criminal Minds and Criminal Minds Evolution, which I believe came out yesterday. Amazing. Amazing. I hope everybody loved the first two episodes. There are eight more in season 16 and they get even better. So I hope everybody just loves them to death. Intent. And Francie unfortunately can't be here today. Bummer. But she's here in spirit, unfortunately. And we have a very special guest.
Hello, this is Jamie Gearing, author of Madman in the Woods, Life Next Door to the Unabomber. And I am actually here today because I had a recent brush with crime that I wanted to chat about a little bit because It reminded me of really basic safety issues that sometimes, you know, we kind of take for granted. And so I just wanted to share my story and hopefully remind other women, especially traveling to, we'll get to that exactly right. What to do.
Okay. So Jamie, it's good to see you again. Our listeners and viewers will remember Jamie, who spoke to us about Mad Men in the Woods, her book about growing up next door to the Unabomber. Actually, the Unabomber lived on her property in Montana.
Yes, and that wasn't that long ago that we chatted. I think it was right after the book came out, which was in April.
Yeah, how's the book doing?
It's doing great. I mean, I think, you know, I'm really busy with podcasts and events. So yes, I think it's doing wonderful.
Awesome. Well, let's dive right into this. So just for, so our listeners and viewers know, Jamie reached out to me to tell me that she had an experience that she really thought it was important that we talk about. And of course, knowing Jamie for all the time I have, which has been years now, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and she also knows people that I know. I know that she really cares about people. So this is going to be, this is important. Otherwise, she wouldn't have asked us to do this. And I'm sure Francie would have loved to have been here and she would have interrupted you 40 or 50 times. But I'll try to keep that down to a minimum. But actually, we would like to talk about this issue. So let's start out by saying, when did this happen?
So this happened not very long ago. It was the end of October. So it's really only been weeks since this happened.
And what location were you in at the time this happened?
So I was in New York. New York City. And very specifically, I was in Midtown, but kind of on the east side of Midtown.
The east side of Midtown, Manhattan. Okay. Yes. I know it pretty well. Yeah. And what were you doing in New York City, if you don't mind us knowing?
Yeah, actually, I was in New York for a book award ceremony. And I actually kind of vacillated, you know, back and forth quite a bit about going, because I've been to New York a few times now, and I've traveled with my husband. And, you know, I will say that, you know, comparing it as far as most others who've traveled to the city post-pandemic, it's definitely a bit different, and especially Midtown.
What's different about it?
It's just not quite as hustle and bustle, I suppose, as it used to be. And I think it's, you know, due in part to, I believe, a lot of the commuters would come through, you know, Midtown. And especially when everything shut down, that's when I was there the last time before this, and there was just hardly anybody there. And there, you know, there's always a lot of homeless in New York City, but it was exponentially higher, especially in Midtown. And also you just saw it in the businesses. I mean, you would go into, for instance, the last time I went last year, going into the hotel bar and sitting and having a drink and talking to the bartender, there was hardly anybody there. And we were in Midtown before as well. And he was expressing the same thing. You know, obviously they had just kind of come back and were starting to be fully open again in many places. And there just wasn't the crowd. There weren't the commuters. And, you know, things looked a lot different. And I did notice it was a bit back to normal, of course, now, but not quite to pre-pandemic New York City.
All right, so you're in New York City, and what award ceremony was it?
I was there for the Zibby Awards, actually.
Okay, and what are the Zibby Awards?
The Zibby Awards are, it's a book award that really celebrates a lot of kind of behind the scenes things about publishing and books. And so, again, you know, I wasn't quite sure that I was going to go because my husband couldn't join, but I just really wanted to connect with Zibby herself and, you know, so many different authors that were coming to enjoy this and just be part of the literary community, because, you know, this writing deal can be pretty isolating. And so any and all of those events where you get to go meet fellow writers is always so welcome.
And so she gives out awards for behind the scenes stuff about book writing.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Did you get nominated for an award?
Yes, I was nominated. Mad Men in the Woods was nominated for an award, but really this specific award I didn't have much to do with. It was on the creative end of, you know, the beautiful spine and cover of the book. Okay. So it was still.
But you approved it.
Yeah. Well, actually, I love that she does this because there was so much that went into designing the spine and how it looked with my name and the title. And on my book specifically, you can see Ted Kaczynski's just his head on the spine from the entire picture from the cover. So it's very cleverly designed, I have to say.
Awesome. Well, I don't know if you won the award or not, but you should have.
I actually did not win that one, but that's okay. Like I said, I didn't have much to do with that other than, you know, some input. But I did just win two awards, the PenCraft Book Award for memoir. And then I also won the Firebird Book Awards for first time nonfiction and also for memoir, first place. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, I loved it when I read it. I told you that, you know, the first time I read your manuscript, right?
I mean, yeah, that was so long ago. Yes, thank you.
But I was very impressed. I was like, because, you know, a lot of people send me their books. I actually enjoy editing books. I've done a number of them, a couple of bestsellers, and I kind of enjoy that process. But other people send me books and they're like, oh, so hard to trudge through. But yours was so delightful. It was so good and so interesting. And so I agree that you should be winning every award. But let's dive into what happened. So you're in New York City, and this time I understand your husband didn't travel with you.
Correct. Yeah, I was actually only going for a day and a half. And so, you know, he stayed back home. He had to work. I just decided I would go out there very quickly. It was no big deal. And, you know, I tried to do my homework and read about the hotels and the reviews. And, you know, I don't know New York City particularly well, to be 100% transparent, but I had stayed close to, I should have just contacted you to make my, help me with my itinerary.
Yeah.
But I did, I had stayed in Midtown before. And so I was kind of familiar with that part of the city and just its proximity to everything. So that's what I chose.
Mm-hmm. So you chose a hotel. We're not going to name the name of the hotel, but on the east side of Midtown Manhattan. And, you know, that would be Midtown Manhattan is typically somewhere in the high 40s, low 50s. Are we, am I in the right neighborhood there?
I believe so. Okay. I believe so. Yes.
And it's on the east side of Manhattan. So the east side of Manhattan. So Manhattan is basically separated by Central Park in the upper east and upper west sides. But below that, you know, we're probably talking about between east and west. We're talking about what? Park Avenue? I can't remember. Park or Madison? Well, Park Avenue is Madison is like 4th Avenue, right? And then Park would be 5th, and then there's, oh, I'm sorry, is it the other way around? Now I'm getting all confused. Anyway, the east side is the lower numbers, and the west side is the higher numbers of avenues. And the streets go from lower Manhattan, they start at First Street, well, they start way below First Street, you know, Wall Street is below First Street, but they go from First Street all the way up to 178th Street. And so each 20 streets is 1 mile and each 6 avenues is 1 mile. So that's just, it's on a grid and it's very standard. You know, the avenues are longer. It's 1/6 of a mile per avenue and each block is 1/20 of a mile going north to south. So that's Manhattan. So you're there and you go for this Quibi thing. No, Quibi, Zibby.
Zibby, right. Yes.
You go for this Zibby Awards thing, and what happens? What time of the day is it? Where are you? What have you done? Like, have you gone to the award ceremony already? Are you out to dinner? What happens?
So I actually landed in New York very early in the morning, about 7:30, and I got to my hotel. I got situated. I checked in, and from there, actually, I went exploring on foot. And I went to Park Avenue to look at the shops. I went to Madison Square. I went to Top of the Rock. And I will say that before I left my room, I remembered the words of FBI agent James Fitzgerald, actually, because when I went to New York on my prior trip, him and I were actually talking because he, you know, was offering some input on my book. And I had mentioned I was going to New York, and he said, whatever you do, just be aware of your surroundings always. And don't trust it's really good advice. Like, don't trust anyone who walks up to you, and always keep your purse on your side while you're walking, even like if you're out to dinner or even when you go to the restroom, just always keep your belongings close. And so I'm, of course, thinking about these wise words from him before I go out on the town on my own. And I had some extra credit cards in my purse. So I thought, oh, I'll leave a couple of these, because if something does happen, at least I can come back and I have some way to pay for things on my trip. And I did not use the safe. I've honestly never used a safe in my hotel room. And I just put a couple credit cards on the desk next to some other stuff that I took out. Went out on the town, had a great time, and came back, got ready for my Zibby Awards, went to the awards, went to dinner afterwards with another author, And then I was back in my room just a little bit after nine. I think it was about 9:30. I was exhausted because I had taken such an early flight.
Right.
And, you know, had a big day in New York and went to these awards. And I honestly fell asleep before I had intended to. And I woke up around 4 a.m. to noises outside of my room.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, you've read my book, and that's one of the things I talk about is hearing Ted Kaczynski outside my bedroom window when I was a kid. And I will say it's a bit triggering for me, especially being alone. Yeah, hearing commotion. And so I sat straight up in bed and I was really trying to listen to what was going on. And all I could hear from the security officer's radio was perp one in the yellow shirt, perp two with a white hat on. And so I'm, you know, sitting there in bed alone, hearing this outside my door. And I realized immediately I fell asleep before, without even realizing it, I didn't put the chain on my door. So I ran out of bed, put the chain on, and then stood there and tried to listen and gather more of what was going on. And as I continued, you know, to listen, I then was terrified that I was in front of this door because I didn't know what was going on. And
there's some drama going down. You don't know if guns are involved or what.
Yes. And that's where my mind went to, of course. And I'm just like, the adrenaline brain is going, right. And I'm probably not thinking super clearly, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if there's a gunfight out there, or, you know, if, who knows, I need to get away from the door. And it was hard though, because I'm also trying to discern what exactly is happening. So I move to the side away from the door a bit. And, you know, the way the hotel room was situated is my bed was directly in front of the door as well.
Of course it was.
Of course it was. Yes. So I'm kind of off to the side, and then I start to hear more and more of the story. And I gather that the room next door to mine was broken into. And so then, you know, it was a bit of a relief that there wasn't, you know, somebody attacking someone on my floor or, you know, an immediate threat. And so I was able to relax a little bit, but of course I didn't sleep. And I got everything packed up and kind of in a hurry, because I was at that point just really ready to get home. My flight was that morning, so I didn't spend much time sightseeing or anything.
I'm just wondering though, with the setup about leaving your cards in the room, if there's any connection here.
So yes. So I leave New York, and actually that morning I have my stuff. I'm relieved to get out of there. It was unsettling again, but I was like, okay, well, it was just an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. I checked in with the person at the front desk and said, hey, what was going on next to my room last night? I heard security outside, and I, you know, just for peace of mind, I wanted to know what was going on. And the answer was, it was a private matter. There's nothing that you need to worry about. Everything's being handled. It's like, okay, well, it must have just been an isolated incident.
Yeah, must have.
Must have. So I get back home and realize that I left in such a hurry. I don't have two of my credit cards. Lo and behold, of course, they're the ones that I left on the desk in my room. There were charges on those credit cards, small and sporadic, but there were charges that I didn't do. And so I immediately called and canceled the cards. But then the fear really kind of sunk in, because at that point, I knew that somebody was in my room.
Right.
So I, of course, contacted the hotel manager. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this probably happens sometimes where you know, maybe there's, have you seen White Lotus?
Yes.
The first season where there's the theft and it was, you know, an inside job. And so of course, that's what I thought. However, when I spoke with the hotel manager, that was not the case. And what had happened was that a man broke in to the office in the hotel and stole multiple key cards to one floor, which happened to be my floor.
Of course.
Of course, right? And they had him on video, this man breaking into the office and then breaking into my room.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And of course, you know, when he's telling me this, I'm in such a panic because I was sleeping there without the chain on. And that's where my mind went first. Like, oh my gosh, was there somebody in my room while I was sleeping? And so I asked him what time. Yes. And it was just a little bit after 9. And he was only in my room for about a minute and a half, which of course I was not. I was back at my room by 9:30 at the latest. Wow. So I had just missed him. And
fortunately,
and he of course broke into the room next to mine and had stolen some goods out of the closet. And then he tried to get into a few other rooms, but they were occupied and they had the chain on. So that was the other thing. I will never, ever forget when I'm in a hotel to put the chain on while I'm inside.
That one step further, because if you put the chain on, there are devices that people can use that can unhook the chain. They can also unhook the lever once. They're like a slot thing. There's a little knob that sticks out and then there's a slot that fits over it. And if you pull it, it catches on the end of that slot. But there are devices that can be used to defeat that. And so what I would say on top of that is hang a few hangers from the closet on the chain or the slot thing. So at least if somebody tries to remove it, it's going to make noise and wake you up. There are other devices that you can buy that will securely lock your door. And, you know, you can go on the internet and you can find them. There's a number of different types of devices. because there's a lot of different types of doorknobs on hotel doors. But I would suggest that people who travel do that, get those devices so that they can actually be more secure. Obviously, you have to be concerned. If there's a fire, you want to make sure you know how to take that stuff off immediately. And so you don't create a problem for you getting out. That's another safety thing. You should always figure out where your room is in relationship to the stairwells. Not just one stairwell. There's usually two stairwells. You should find out where both of them are so that if there's a fire, you can leave in one of those, go away from wherever the smoke is coming from. But in this case, you obviously have learned a lesson, right?
Yes. And of course, you know, hearing you say that, I would definitely, especially traveling alone again, would look into something like that. Because, you know, there will be times in my life that I need to travel alone. And I want to feel empowered to do so. But this definitely shook me and really made me remember, you know, just very, very simple reminders of looking out for your safety.
Right. And, you know, especially when you're tired, especially when you've got a bunch of things going on, it's important not to walk around New York City or any town with two headphones in. So you can't hear anybody approaching. I'll tell you this. I've lived in L.A. since the end of 2009. So quite a while. I walked every day during the pandemic. And during one of those walks, there was a big homeless encampment that built up right along where I walked every day. And one day I heard a bunch of footsteps behind me and they seemed like they were advancing. And I immediately darted out to the right onto the middle of the street between two, you know, RVs. And sure enough, they came out right behind me, three guys, and one of them had a knife. Luckily, I had a walking stick and I was able to keep him at bay while I called 911. And eventually the police came, but they literally did nothing. They downplayed what happened. They said he just brandished the knife as opposed to came at me with the knife, things like that. But I ended up, because I'm law enforcement, I ended up calling their sergeant and getting the record corrected. But it was a very, very harrowing experience because I wasn't carrying my gun. And I had been doing this every day for a year and a half now. And I got complacent. And although I was situationally aware and I wasn't wearing headphones drowning out all the sounds, I still put myself in a position where I could get taken advantage of. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, you know, the average Joe. And although, like I said, I always had a walking stick with me, which was important. And my walking stick, it's made out of a metal pipe. So it's not your average walking stick. And, you know, it can be used as a defensive weapon. And that's what I used it for. So the point is that there are a bunch of things you can do. Another thing that I always carry is called a tactical pen. And it's a pen that can be used to also break the glass on the inside of your car if you get plunged into water and you need to get out fast, or if it's on fire and you need to get out fast. And it has a pointy end, and that can be used also to stop somebody from grabbing you, you know, or other defensive moves. So there's a number of things that people can do, especially if you're a woman and you're traveling alone. You should think of these things, not to get obsessed with it, but to be aware and to you know, have some contingency plans if something happens.
I will say, you know, I felt while I was there, I already mentioned Fitz's words, but I really was aware of, like, okay, I'm going to walk with a group of people. And, you know, there was many times where I kind of all of a sudden was alone, and I would find like a couple and get next to them. And just, I was so aware, and I felt like so street smart out there in the world. But then when I came home, I made some pretty critical mistakes.
Well, easy to
that
make.
I won't make again. Yeah. And honestly, this wouldn't have changed this particular outcome anyways, because I wasn't in the room. Yes, I could have put my credit cards in the safe, but that doesn't change the fact that there was a man in my room for a minute and a half. Yes.
Well, a lot can be done in a minute and a half. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but this is the nature of burglary, right? And people who are sophisticated at it, you know, can accomplish a lot in a very short period of time. But luckily, you weren't there alone in your room when he came in. And so yeah, that was actually a good lucky break for you.
It really was. And, you know, I think I'm hoping that some good has come from this experience. As I mentioned, Midtown specifically isn't, you know, they're still recovering from the pandemic. Businesses are not staffed as they used to be. And, you know, there's a labor shortage issue. And so sometimes there's these skeleton crews. And so their businesses are taking these shortcuts to be more efficient, such as like having extra room keys available and ready, you know, things like that. So this actually, this specific incident for this hotel did change their policies and procedures, which is great. Mm-hmm. They're also going to install a key card kind of clearance in the elevator, which again, this wouldn't have changed anything because this man had the keys.
Right.
He had the keys. But if somebody just came in off the street and was, you know, trying to break into a room, I guess, and take advantage of someone walking down the hall or something like that, then it would stop that situation. So it did heighten their security awareness. So I am, I'm grateful for the future patrons of that hotel that this did happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other businesses will kind of follow suit as well in that sort of realm.
Yeah. And people should also be aware of sort of quote inside jobs where somebody is employed at the hotel who then informs somebody else of who's in what room and when they're leaving and when they're coming in and things like that. And, you know, you should always be careful if you order room service to make sure and confirm that the person outside your door is the person that is delivering the food that works in the hotel that should be there. I certainly, if I was a single woman in a hotel room, I would probably ask them to leave it outside the door and you'll get it when you get it. Obviously, you know, you look through the peephole and make sure that they've left. If you can't see both sides, then you should call down to the desk and find out, is that the person that was supposed to bring it up to you and so forth. You know, just do a little due diligence, be extra cautious. New York is a big city with a lot of very sophisticated criminals. I'm sure the same thing is true in Miami, in Chicago, in LA, in San Francisco, in all big cities across the United States. Unfortunately, the hard times that COVID brought have created a surge in crime and property crimes and physical crimes and violent crimes. So be very careful and do things that you know will help you rather than hinder you. And the biggest thing is walking down the street with your head buried in your phone. First of all, you're carrying around something that's worth $1,000 that could be taken from you. Why make yourself look like a target? You should keep it in a pocket where it's hidden. You should not be looking at your phone while you're walking down the street. You should not be out in public displaying your, you know, $200 earphones or, you know, jewelry or watches. It's just not a good idea.
Yeah, thank you for those reminders as well. And, you know, there's one little trick. I mean, it's not necessarily a trick, but when I make a reservation and I'm staying by myself, I always have somebody else's name on it. So at least when I'm checking in, it looks as though somebody else is staying with me. You know, that's just one little thing that I picked up. And then walking with crowds, of course, and, you know, Fitz's words of just being so aware, holding your purse close to you. Again, he was like, I don't want to, this is not intended to scare you. Just be careful out there. Right. Just a reminder. Right. But, you know, you've already mentioned so many things, you know, to help, you know, anybody really that's traveling. But do you have any more like concrete tips for travel specifically?
Well, there are a few things. Well, you know, just I would not leave any valuables in the room. The safe can be a good thing, but sometimes those safes aren't even locked down and they can just pick up the safe and walk out. I wouldn't use those kind of safes to leave my valuables in. There are travel pouches that you can use to put under your shirt or tuck in your pants, that where you can put your credit cards, your passport, your cash, any kind of small jewelry, that kind of stuff. I would carry it with me in that hidden place. But be aware, when you're in a crowded place like the subway or the street, pickpockets always touch you on one part of your body to distract you from the other part of the body where they're taking something. So it's always good to, you know, now guys wear their wallet in their front pocket. It's always good to have your hand in that pocket on your wallet while you're walking. It's always good to have your phone in a secure place that people can't see that you have a $1,000 phone in your pocket or in your hand. The best thing to do if you feel like if somebody is following you is to get into a store that has a clerk that is visible and just walk right up to the person and tell them what's going on. Let them know that you're being followed, that you're uncomfortable. If the person persists, then have them call 911 for you and stay there with somebody. If you're in a location and somebody's bothering you, they can lock the door and keep that person out, things like that. The subway is a little more difficult because there's, you know, millions of people that ride the subway, you know, so you have to be very careful. It's always good to ride in the center car. That's where the conductor is. You can get access to him more quickly. It's always good not to stand right at the edge of the subway platform because somebody could inadvertently or intentionally push you in front of a car, a train coming in. So I always stand by the door. You know, it's the easiest way to get in and out if you have to. And again, traveling in the middle of the car, middle of the train is the most safe place to be.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. If I think of any more, we'll post them in our notes. But I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this experience, because although I'm sure it wasn't fun living it again with us, it's really important for people to know, and especially in holiday season. And that's one other thing we can talk about. More burglaries occur during this time of the year than any other time of the year because people are buying presents and they're leaving them in their house. So a lot of times it'll happen on the holiday. People's houses get broken into, but also leading up to the holiday and right after the holiday, because people have new gifts and people want them. Of course, there's all those porch pirates who start stealing packages that are delivered. It's always good to have either a lockbox where your packages can get delivered to, or a hidden place where people can't see them from the street. That's always good. There's this new thing, you know, I think it's called MyQ, where Amazon can deliver inside your garage. You know, some people think that's cool, some people don't, but it gives a one-time code. It can't be used again, that kind of thing. Not sure about that, but I've just started using it. We'll see what I think about it. But there are a number of things that you should be thinking about during the holiday season, including when you're going out shopping. You know, don't carry a lot of cash with you. Don't flaunt money that you have. There's one big problem here in LA is that people are following nice cars home and doing push-in, home invasion, robbery / burglaries. So, you know, you gotta be really careful. If somebody's following you, drive to the next police station. Don't drive home. Don't go to a place where it's way out, in the country. But, you know, if you feel like somebody's following you, you can make some maneuvers, you know, like turn right, turn right, turn right. And if they're still behind you, then you know they're following you. Okay. There's no reason for them to go around the block that you just went around. Call 911 and drive to find out where the nearest police station is and drive there. If you get pulled over in the middle of nowhere, somebody pulls a police light, turns on, and you're scared, you're alone, you can put your blinkers on, you can call 911, drive slowly, put your blinkers on, continue to drive, and then call 911 and say that you're being pulled over. You want to verify that this is a law enforcement officer and, you know, identify yourself and then say you'd like to drive to the local police department rather than being pulled off on the side of this dark highway, whatever. So those are all things you can do legally. You can't speed off. You can't, you know, you can't slam into the car, but what you can do is what I just described.
Those are all really good reminders, and especially, you know, with the holiday season approaching as well. Just there are things that we sometimes, again, just kind of take for granted and get complacent. So I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jamie, it's always good to see you and to talk to you. And I hope that your future travels are a lot less difficult. And I am very happy that it worked out well. And I'm really thankful that you wanted to share this with our listeners and viewers. And to our listeners and viewers, if you have any experiences like this you want to share or any tips you want to share, we'd love to hear about them. So thank you. And until next time, thank you for listening to Best Case, Worst Case. Signing off.
Best Case, Worst Case is an XG production produced by Francie Hakes, Josh Murphy, and Jim Clementi at Empire Studios LA. Engineered and edited by Matt Gergel. Music composed and performed by Simba Tsumba and hosted by Wondery.
You can listen to Best Case, Worst Case on your favorite listening app. We are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you want to do something about child sexual abuse, Darkness Delight can help. Did you know that more than 90% of the time children are sexually abused by someone they know?
Jim, this isn't about stranger danger. It's about learning the true risks. Darkness to Light's training can help prevent, recognize, and react to child sexual abuse in your community.
When you make the decision to get involved, kids can be protected. It starts with you.
Visit www.d2l.org to take the training and learn more.
That's d2l.org.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.